inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, we're back. Coming up 25 before the top of the hour. Lou Epton here, 731-1230, toll free 1-866-820-KLAV. As promised, our very special guest this morning is Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
So many things have happened since we've last spoken that I was just kind of curious how you see these things. What effect and what might you know that we haven't really talked about?
I don't think anyone has talked about the hidden implication of the symbols in Middle Eastern religion.
Oh?
And that would tell you something. There are organizations and research societies and institutions in this country that have done some tremendous work in that direction of looking at the symbols of Middle Eastern religion that should be able to tell you something if you know what they mean.
Yeah.
And we've talked on many occasions about the planet Saturn.
Yes,
well,
sir.
I want to talk about that a little bit more this morning.
Okay.
Saturn was the god of chaos, and we talked, and I've mentioned this before too, that in the celebration, Christian celebration of Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras is the celebration, basically, of the destruction of an old world order in preparation for a new dispensation, a new zodiacal dispensation on Earth, the destruction of the old world of Pisces, and celebrating a new coming era of a new era of a world power and the destruction of an old world order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mardi Gras. And the king of Mardi Gras is referred to as King Saturn. And so Saturn is very much involved, the planet Saturn, and its esoteric or symbolism of Saturn is very much involved, I believe, in what's going on in the world today generally, starting with New York and working its way down, because Saturn is the god of chaos.
Well,
and the dark god of sinister and profound lessons for the powers that be, and it's the again, the god of chaos. Well, that's what we've got going now, is a lot of chaos.
That's for
and,
sure.
And so I think probably I would say that, and I've got just reams of information on this over the years. I've been interested in it, and I've also mentioned on your program ad nauseum about the Nazi connection to the planet Saturn, the Nazi philosophy of destruction of an old order of the world and preparation for Hefura and the coming new order, the new state. And so it all goes back to Middle Eastern religions. But if you don't understand that culture and that ancient past, then, you know, all the things today, I'm just amazed at how many times I hear about how America and the world in general, but America especially, is just absolutely frightened to death and worried, sick, and I keep wondering when is someone going to wake up and look at the occult or hidden side of world religions. I've been preaching this evangel for some 30 years publicly and 42 years in my life.
Well, with mainstream media the way it is it any wonder that the nation is on edge?
Well, of course, and they're promoting it.
That's
promoting
right.
It purposely to keep everyone frightened and scared to death. And but if people were well informed, I mean, that's why the founding fathers of this country said that freedom is based on the vigilance of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you read anything from the 18th century, 19th century back, if you read the materials that were written, It's a very high order of intelligence that's being expressed.
Yeah.
They don't have any ain't gots and don't got and ain't like this. It's very high intelligence being expressed in a very melodious and poetic style, showing great wisdom and knowledge of the people, generally.
Well, they had a real educational system back then.
Totally.
As a matter of fact, for a youngster to get out of primary school, he had to pass a test that a college graduate today or their instructors could not pass.
That's the name of the tune.
I mean, what a hell of a realization.
That's college for you. So, therefore, you need to save all your money.
Oh, yeah.
So you can send your kid to college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or they can
yeah.
listen to these radical left of Lenin professors, of course.
Yep, I know. And I've said this before, that if you know, in the Little House in the Prairie days, the kids all went to the same classroom. There's only one classroom.
Yeah.
And they had candles at night to read and study by. And out of that Little House in the Prairie days came the great philosophers, the writers, the artists, the statesmen, all of the great teachers of the ages that came through and out of that existence. Today we've got the biggest and the most air-conditioned, beautiful schools, and the IQ is down to zero.
That's about it.
And that's why we call it an educational system.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because
that's why
we
pump all the millions into it, so they can dumb them down even further, I guess.
That's it, but they do it with perfection. They've got it down to a science now.
Yeah, I guess they do.
And but the planet Saturn is very interesting in that it is, as I said, the god of chaos, and it it's very much operating today. And,
yeah, but don't you have to be into astrology to accept this kind of stuff? I mean, isn't Saturn just another planet hanging up out there along with Pluto and Dumbo and Gumbo, whatever the other planets
Be. Yeah, that's true. I'm not talking about astrology. I'm talking about...
I know. But you're saying they have an effect on our own planet.
Yeah, of course they do. Are you aware of the fact that the planet Jupiter pulls the sun toward it 3 degrees out of the sun's orbit? 3 degrees toward... the planet Jupiter, so that wherever Jupiter happens to be, the sun is pulled toward Jupiter some 3 degrees, meaning that the planet Jupiter, is, even though it appears just as a bright little star in the sky, it is a massive planet that has a tremendous gravitational force field that even moves the sun. And if it can pull the sun itself, even a slight bit, but if it pulls the sun toward it, that tells me that that's a tremendous gravitational force field to move the sun.
Yeah.
Now, if that is true, then what does it have any effect on the Earth? Oh, of course not. Nothing has effect on the Earth. We're totally idiots here. Nothing affects us. Education, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, research, none of it affects us. The only thing that affects us on the Earth is basketball.
That's about the size of it.
So
what I thought all the planets just merrily rotated around the sun.
Oh, I'm afraid not. No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid there's more to astrophysics than that.
And you're basing this on solid scientific fact.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And of course, it has now finally been established, and we've known it for years, that the moon draws the tides of the world and the tides of the waters of the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's established. That's true.
Well, then is that exercising some sort of a occult or hidden influence on the Earth?
That's why we have lunatics.
Well, of course. And that's why the police and hospitals will tell you that they have more business on a full moon than any other time.
You're really suggesting it affects our mental ability.
Well, we're over 90% water, right?
All right. Makes sense.
If it can pull the oceans of the and it's affecting water, then you're over 90% water or 80% water.
Yeah.
So does that affect you?
I got yeah.
Look at, if it affects people to the point that the police and the hospitals will tell you that there is more violence and more trouble and problems and mental problems in hospitals and police and law enforcement on a full moon, and that's established and been heard for years, then what is that telling you? The moon is affecting you in a particular way that maybe you're not aware of. And so if that is true, and if it's true that Jupiter affects the sun enough to pull it toward it, then what about the other planets? Do they affect us? Are there electrical, gravitational force fields that in any way impact the little Earth out here with so much water? And remember, water is a good conductor of electricity, and the entire universe is an electrical universe. I mean, all of the moving through space, we think that there's nothing out there, it's just moving in empty space.
Yeah.
In point of fact, as far back as before Einstein, scientists and physicists had already decided and figured out that what holds the planets out there they sit out there,
yeah,
with such tremendous weight, and they all sit out there as if they're sitting on water. They're just floating out there in space. What holds them up from anything, from any direction?
Hmm.
It's electricity. There's an electrical gravitational force field in the entire creation, so that all things are electrically in a gravitational electrical force field holds the planets where they are, including ours. So I'm just saying there's a lot of electrical power out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cronia, you've had Dave Talbot on before, the Cronia,
yeah,
Communication, and
yeah,
and that group of physicists and scientists, and they've got whole reams of videos and books on the electrical universe. Well, look, if you're over 90% water, then you are a conductor of electricity also. Your,
yeah,
body is a bio battery.
That's right.
Then
actually, we're energy masses.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And we can take the sun energy, and it affects our body. It affects our, it actually affects more than you think it does. If you stay in the dark too long, you begin to get sick. You need the sun. And so I'm just saying that the planets do exercise a very legitimate influence on us. And incidentally, the solar system as we know it today, as Dave Talbot has so masterfully explained to us, the solar system that we see today is not necessarily the way it was, say, 10,000 years ago or 20,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And according to all the ancient writings and all the inscriptions, both in Egypt and even before that, in the Sumerian writings, and God knows all the rest of the ancient writings, including the Chinese, they were saying that the planets were in a totally different configuration, and that Saturn was very close to the Earth, so close that it was probably twice the size of the moon appears in the sky, because everyone knew,
yeah,
that Saturn was the god of fear and chaos and domination of the whole Earth, and that he was fearfully seen in the sky with his rings.
Yeah.
And Mars also was very close. They could describe, in the ancient world, they described all of the intricacies of planet Saturn and Mars. And now we know, we're scientifically now understanding, that the planets were not, thousands and thousands of years ago, the planets were not where they are now.
Yeah. And Saturn, of course, relates or translates, in a sense, to Satan.
Well, of course. And if the planets were very close, and if the planets are spinning and rotating, then you're talking about creating an electrical force field like a motor that spins around and creates electricity.
Yeah.
A dynamo. It's spinning in a circle, creating friction and creating electricity. Well, if the huge planets are circulating or are rotating, then they're creating electrical charges.
Yeah.
And when you get two wires, power lines,
mm-hmm,
too close, they have to be a certain footage apart to get them too close, and just the electrical force field around the wires will jump from one wire to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have huge explosions of power. And we know that.
Yeah.
Well, then suppose the planet Saturn and maybe Jupiter, my God, how big that thing is that pulls the sun. Well, if it was closer to the Earth, and maybe if the other planets, or maybe one of the other planets came too close to Saturn or came too close to Jupiter, and huge electrical discharges off of one planet striking the other planet, that would explain the terrible rips in the landscape, like that we see on Mars. These great, we think that they were probably riverbeds, you know, or rivers.
Mm-hmm.
No, they are electrical discharge cuts on the surface of Saturn and on the surface of Mars, especially. We can see that.
Yeah. All right, I got to hold us up here for a little bit. When we come back, I want to talk to you further about the Mideastern symbology that you are so schooled on. Stay with us, everyone. Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, toll free 1-866-820-KLAV. We'll be right back.
Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are, 6 before the top of the hour. Lou Epton here, along with our very special guest of the morning, Jordan Maxwell. And again, our number is 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-KLAV. And after the top of the hour, we will start entertaining your calls. But in the meantime, Jordan, you've expressed over the past how many times we've spoken all of the symbology that we're surrounded by all over the country. But now you've made mention of the symbology of the Eastern religions, and I'm rather curious about those as well.
Well, we were talking about Saturn being a god of darkness and chaos. His,
yeah.
The color which all of the ancient world, and even still today, in esoteric circles throughout the world, Saturn's color. Each one of the planets were given a color, assigned a color. The planet Saturn's color was black. The planet Venus was green. This is why in the Islamic religion, their flags are green. And on the Islamic symbol, in the Middle East, the Islamic symbols on their flags and coats of arms, their flags are green,
yeah.
Which is represents Venus. Then you have the crescent with a star, and many people think the crescent is the moon, but it is not. Go back and do the research, and you'll find that the crescent and the star represent the planet Venus. And so Venus is very important to Islam.
Uh-huh.
But then so is the planet Saturn in its place in Islam. The planet Venus is very important in Judaism. But it also is the planet Saturn. The planet Mars was very important to the Romans especially, and the Greeks and all the other cultures, but especially do we know it about, you know, in the Roman world.
Mm-hmm.
And Mars was the god of war. Well, it had to do with, it's a very interesting study of words and terms, but it was said by the ancient peoples that Mars came in between the Earth and the planet Saturn or Jupiter, one of the two, and caused the great electrical discharge and great chaos on the Earth. It affected the tidal waves. It affected earthquakes. And consequently, Mars has always been guilty of the one who causes great catastrophe. And Mars is in there with war. And I think Dave Talbot is right, and the Cronio Communication Group of physicists and scientists and researchers are right when they say that the planets may have very well been closer to the Earth and caused some great havoc, maybe 10,000, 15,000 years ago, and ancient man wrote down what he was seeing happening in the skies, these great catastrophes and fearful-looking objects of the planets very close and almost hitting each other and electrical charges coming off of them and causing tidal waves. So all of that makes sense to me that that's very well possible. And if that is true, then naturally the planets would be the great gods who dominated the heavens and threw out their lightning bolts and frightened mankind. And they were the gods. And, of course, in the ancient world, all the planets were gods, or thought to be gods.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mecca, in the holy city of Mecca to Islam, the Kaaba, which is a square building that's covered in black. And it's called the Kaaba, from which we get the word Kabul or Kaaba stone or cobblestone. Kaaba, the black square or the black cube. You can go to any library and read about Kaaba, and it is directly connected to the worship of the planet Saturn. And the same black square or black cube of Kaaba for Islam is connected to the same black square that you wear as a mortarboard on your head when you graduate from university, the black square or the black cube.
Oh,
the presence of Saturn, the great teacher. He teaches you a lesson with hardships, with chaos and destruction and inhibiting you from doing anything. He teaches you a lesson. He puts you in prison and teaches you some serious problems and with serious problems, teaches you discipline. Saturn is the great Kaaba, the black cube.
How do you spell
Kaaba?
How is that spelled?
K-A-B-B-A is one way. You can spell it in different ways, Kaaba in the Arabic. But the point being is that the Islamic religion, the most holy Vatican, so to speak, of Islam is in Mecca or in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And you've got hundreds of thousands of Muslims from around the world going to, bow before the Kaaba. And the Kaaba is nothing more than the black cube of Saturn. Anybody that knows anything about the Middle Eastern religions knows that.
Okay.
And Allah. Allah is nothing more than an Arab interpretation of the word Yahweh. Yahweh in Hebrew is Allah in Arabic. So Yahweh and Allah is the same thing. It's the same God. And it is both are connected to the planet Saturn.
All right,
in a very interesting and occult or hidden way.
All right, but you said that the color of Islam is green.
Yeah, that's for Venus. Yeah. And
what does
that's
that
why,
mean,
as I
Cone?
Said, the flags are usually green, and their symbols and emblems of power and political power are green.
And yet Mecca is where we find the Kaaba.
The Kaaba, which represents the planet Saturn. So I'm saying Saturn is very important, from which we get the concept of the Prince of Darkness, the evil one, the opposer of what is good. And in Egypt, that principle of the evil one, the dark side of the force, so to speak, was Set. His name, that god was the god of darkness and evil, was called Set, S-E-T.
Uh-huh.
And he came out at night when the sun went down.
Yeah.
And that's why we call, when the sun leaves, we call it sunset, because the sun has left the world, and the idea being there's God's son who has died now. He died and is gone. But he will return, but he's gone now. And so when God's son dies, he leaves the world. He leaves us on the earth in the hands of the Prince of Darkness. And, of course, it does get dark at sunset.
That's right. But when you have sunrise.
Yeah, then he was prophesied to come again, and he said he would rise again. So consequently, he is our risen Savior. And, of course, the sun does rise. And it is your Savior. If you don't think so, wait till it don't come up.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing I'm confused about, if the Islamic faith is based on Venus, green,
yes.
That's a god of love. Venus
is always thought of as a goddess
of love.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of love. They love war. They love...
Oh, come on.
I'm teasing you. But, supposedly Venus is the goddess of love.
That's right.
But Venus is also, in the Latin, Venus in Latin was Lucifer. And consequently, Lucifer is actually the planet Venus. And so when we hear of the word and the term Lucifer, that is the planet Venus. And you can walk into any good theological library. Or any library, but I hang out in the theological libraries, the big ones.
Yeah.
and you can spend weeks there photocopying, studying, reading the words, the terms, and all the reference works that you will ever look at will tell you that Lucifer is the planet Venus, and consequently it was the great morning star. And the morning star was the planet Venus, and it was the one that heralded the coming of a new day, meaning that on the eastern horizon, about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Venus would begin to rise in the eastern sky, and it still does.
Yeah.
And when it rises, it is a profoundly, magnificently beautiful sight, because Venus is very bright. Why? Because the sun is right behind it, very close to it. And consequently, the sun is reflecting its light off of Venus, and Venus is close to the sun, so Venus is very bright. And in the morning, early morning, 4:30 in the morning, Venus rises in the east every morning, and it's brilliant. If you're up in the morning, you will see that beautiful star, and it just dominates the sky. And so the ancient Egyptians and Phoenicians and Canaanites and all the ancient peoples of the world realized that when they saw Venus rising, they knew any minute now the sun's going to be coming up with it. So when you see Venus, it was announcing the coming of the sun, or the great illuminary that was going to enlighten the earth and the enlighten the world of mankind.
All right, what I want to get to is how do they go from the planet of love, Venus, to the Kara? And right now we got to do a quick timeout. When we come back, give us the answer to that one. They went to Saturn, in effect, the black square. Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-5528. Hear this, and we'll be back with you and with more.
Exposing the truth, uncovering the fraud in all levels of government, here's Lou Epton.
All right, back we are, 10 after the top of the hour. Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell on AM 1230 KLAV. 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-KLAV. And Jordan, if I recall, I think my question right before we did that timeout was, how did this religion, which is based on green, or the planet Venus, which is the goddess of love, and Lucifer, go from that to Saturn, or the Kara,
well,
which is black.
It's a duality. You've got the god, you've got the good side of the force and the dark side of the force, you know, shades of Star Trek. And I mean, what's the name? George Lucas, and Star Wars, the good side of the force, and there's the dark side of the force.
Isn't that true about all faiths?
Well, I know that's why it's there. It's been true forever, and so Saturn is the god of chaos, but he's also the great teacher, because chaos and trouble and confinement and resistance and all of these things happen in our lives to teach us something, slows you down, hit you in the face, run into walls.
Yeah.
That's Saturn teaching you something. And Venus is a female, or the feminine principle of intellectual, spiritual enlightenment. So all of these symbols are important and give birth to our ideas. Now, the problem we have, especially in this country, in everything in our life in this country, the biggest problem we have with education in this country is something called consensus reality, meaning that we all believe something to be true, even if it isn't, we'll all agree to it. So everyone agrees we have to pay our taxes.
No, I'll argue that.
Everybody knows you have to do that. You know, and, well, I don't know we have to do that. I'm going against the grain. I don't think... I'd like to know where the law is. Well,
there isn't a law.
But
there
let's just say there is a law.
Yeah.
And let's just assume it is, because Uncle Elward paid his taxes, Grandpa paid his, and, and we've always, everybody's always paid their taxes, so we just know that we have to do that.
Uh-huh.
No, we don't have to do that.
Uh-huh.
And point of fact, if you had any brains, and if you sat down in a library and did some reading, you'd find out the whole thing was an actual scam. But happily, though, we don't worry about things like that. We don't read. Who the hell reads? I mean, we've got what does that have to do with basketball?
That's right.
And television.
That's
know?
Right.
And so consequently, anyone who is enlightened or intelligent or seeks to find knowledge and wisdom is now, like in the ancient Roman Empire, now you are the dog. You're the guy that's the troublemaker.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows we have to go along to get along, and whatever Hefura or the government tells us, we have to do, because after all, it is the government.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Germans were saying when they were following Hitler. We don't care if they're killing somebody and what's going on. After all, I mean, he is the government, and we have to do what the government says.
And supposedly for our own good, isn't
it? Well, of course, it's obviously for our own good, you know, and for the good of the bankers that own us.
That's right. Oh,
and
boy.
So I'm saying, you know, America should be better than that. We should have learned something by now.
We were given the opportunity, we just didn't seize it.
I guess so. We dropped the ball again. Incidentally, the symbol of what we call the Star of David is actually referred to in the reference works and all of them as the Star of Saturn. It was a Phoenician, Canaanite, later Hebrew symbol for the planet Saturn. It's two interlaced triangles opposing each other. It's called the Star of David today. But in point of fact, the reference works and all the encyclopedias will tell you that actually the Star of David was originally in the ancient Middle East the star of the planet Saturn again. And of course this whole thing about Lucifer, and I've talked about this before. Lucifer was the planet Venus because it was the light bringer.
Yeah.
And
it illuminated,
and then, of course,
in the Illuminati, therefore.
Precisely. It became a symbol for the illuminated ones, the ones who bring light into the world. And there's nothing wrong with that concept, but then there is the idea that there is a dark light and a white light. There's good light, intellectual light, and there's dark light, that which appears to be beautiful and intelligent, but in point of fact is a lie, and it's being presented as light. So we have these concepts, and we know these concepts well. What we don't realize is that in the Bible, all of these things are right there in the Bible, and if you just sit and read, I mean, you don't have, the reason why most ministers are totally unaware of any of this stuff is because in order to be an elder or a minister, and the L is another subject, that's the planet Saturn, and if you're worshiping Saturn, you're an elder.
You're kidding.
No, that's where the word elder comes from, is because L is the planet Saturn, and the old Phoenician Canaanite system, Saturn was referred to as L, E-L. And therefore, how do you get to be an elder? You get elected. And now that you are elected, you become one of the elites, because you are... And it just goes on and on. Now you have elevated yourself above everyone else because you're an elder and you're one of the elites. And all the time you're pompously arrogant, around pontificating all kinds of scriptural advice as an elder, never realizing that El is the planet Saturn.
Boy, things are upside down.
That's why our country is in the mess it's in today. Nobody reads. All we know is what's on Channel 7. That's it. That's all we know. And basketball and a cold beer and hate the Arabs. That's all we know. Unless, of course, you were in Germany and now is drinking cold beer and soccer and hate the Jews. Or if you're in another country, it's, drink the beer and watch the TV and hate the Russians. But the bottom line is that the people who are running our world are profoundly well-versed in the use of occult symbolism, manipulation, exploitation. Yeah. My God, we got the best in the business.
Oh, I think Goebbels would have been jealous of our television.
That's why they call it Hollywood.
I love this. And for those who are not aware, where did the name Hollywood come from, Jordan?
Yeah, it was the, it's what... magic wands and the old ancient druidic system, the old magic wands like Merlin the Magician with his magic wand. Magic wands were always made out of the wood of the holly tree. It was always made out of Hollywood. And
boy, the first time you told me that, I just couldn't get over it.
Well,
it's so simple. It's so...
Well, it's they hide it right in plain sight. And like I said, it's a consensus reality. We just realize that the city is called Hollywood, and that's just it. And there's nothing to it. Oh,
well,
and I say, oh, you don't think so?
When they named it, they had to be aware what they were doing, though.
Well, of course they did.
I mean, it was Los Angeles, City of Angels.
They named that particular area Hollywood. And the reason why is because the Hollywood was developed with money. Even back in the 20s, in the 1910, when they were starting to do the old silent movies, even though it was an old time and the world was a lot different back then.
Oh, yeah.
But it still required money, and a lot of it, to set up the old studios, all the major all the major motion picture studios, silent films came out. Sure, they were all Mickey Mouse compared to us today, but that took a lot of money to build those big studios, which are still in existence today.
Yeah, yeah.
And where did they get the money? Where did the money come to set up that whole entertainment capital called Hollywood? It came from what we call New England. It came from the banking families in New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire, English banking families that were dominating politics, religion, and everything else in our new country, striving to be free. And these conspirators who were here, who were actually working for a foreign power on our soil, and we were struggling like the situation is today.
Yeah.
The good people who want something good for our country are usually either broke or in debt and consequently have to just go along to get along just to stay alive. So that's exactly what our country was up against. We needed railroads. We needed this. We needed that. We didn't have a lot of money. We were a new country and growing. And so the English banking families, the banking fraternal orders out of England and Europe, were putting up the big money for the railroads and for your motion picture studios, and all of that goes back to the old ancient system of magic coming out of Europe. And my God, today we're flooded with all the pornography and the occultism coming out of movies.
Yep.
Hollywood.
Okay, got to hold us here for just a moment. I want to apologize. We had a listener who was very patient but finally gave up. When we come back, we really will take any calls should you have questions and or comments, if that's okay. Lou Empton, Jordan Maxwell, coming to you through the facilities of AM 1230 KLAV Las Vegas. 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-KLAV.
Reporting what the mainstream media is afraid to expose, Lou Empton.
All right, again, back we are, 25 after the top of the hour. Lou Empton here along with our very special guest of the morning, Jordan Maxwell, talking primarily symbology. I don't know how anybody else feels about this, but I find this extremely fascinating. We've talked symbology in the past, but primarily symbols we see all around this nation. We've gone a little deeper this morning, and I'm grateful for that. By the way, again, our numbers, and we will entertain your calls at these numbers, 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-5528. Before we do anything else, Jordan, how long have you been involved in symbology? What got you started in all of this?
I started when I moved out to California at 18 years old. I just turned 18 and left home, and I ended up in Los Angeles, in the San Fernando Valley, and that's where I have lived ever since. So I've been doing this for 42 years, and at 18 I started because my family, because of my background. I've said this before, my mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican.
Yes.
Secretary of State's office.
Uh-huh.
As a civilian. He wasn't clergy. He worked in the Secretary of State's office of the Vatican. I didn't know him that well because I was too young. But it proves I got that in my blood. And my mother had two uncles who were federal judges in my hometown. And my great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida and was a very powerful senator. He stayed in there until he died, and Senator Claude Pepper mm-hmm. was his gopher. And consequently, yeah, and so consequently, I've got politicians and senators and Catholic clergy, and so it was in my blood. And so at 18, I was fascinated with the things that I had been learning from my family and hearing pieces of it. So I started off out ahead of everyone else. I've already, even at 18, I was already way out ahead of many kids my age. And so I started buying all the reference books I could. The first thing that caught my interest because of my Catholic background was Roman theology, not Christianity, Roman theology, Mithraism. And it didn't take me very long to see that Roman theology was the basis for what we call today fascism. Fascism, and the very word fascism, you know, the fascist.
Yeah.
Well, the very word fas is F-A-S, fas, which in a law dictionary, the word fas is God's law. God's law is fas, F-A-S, fas, means God's law in Latin. Therefore, fascism and its dictates on the world we live in, the great world fascist movements that dictate everything down the line for you, what you can do, what you can't do, what you can spend, how much you can do, is fascism, corporate international fascism. That word fas means God's law. So consequently, these people think that they are actually ruling the earth for God. I mean, they have some kind of a divine mandate to rule the human family, the human race. Well, the American founding fathers understood that. They weren't stupid. And that's why they warned us and said, do not have anything to do with any other country in the world. Stay home.
Yeah.
Build your country to be a great and wonderful example to the rest of the world what all mankind could be like if we came together in one country. That's E Pluribus Unum, which is on the national seals, meaning one out of many.
Yeah.
If we built one great nation that minds its own business, does not go out anywhere else in the world to try and police anybody or manipulate or exploit a blow-up or a war with anyone.
Uh-huh.
Mind your own business. Stay home. Take care of your own family, your own culture, and your own country, and build a nation that could be a great and shining example to the rest of the world what mankind could do if they come together. Well, that wasn't such a bad idea because it worked for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually began to work, and the country became so powerful and so large because so many people liked that idea, being able to come here and not be harassed because you happen to be a particular color or a particular faith. It doesn't matter. Come here and you're a free man. You can live your life and protect it. And so that wasn't a bad idea, and it grew, and America became a very powerful country. Today, we are totally broken up into factions.
Yep.
And that's exactly what the divide and conquer. This is exactly what our enemies in England, and who was it? Who was our enemy when we were founding this country?
That's right.
If it wasn't the British.
That's right. And I claim they still are. Not the public, but the rulers. All right, we've got Ed online. Let's interrupt us and see what he wants to add. Good morning, Ed. You're on with Jordan Maxwell.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning, morning, Jordan. How you doing?
Morning, Ed.
I'm enjoying you as usual. The one thing that I'm seeing, I seem to be gleaning from what you're saying, is that we're a bunch of slaves, and the reason why we're slaves is because we're ignorant.
But
most important thing is personal survival, which means we have to have food, clothing, and shelter.
Right.
And since the only way that we can acquire these things now in our modern-day society is through the use of a medium of exchange, which is known as money. So, therefore, our ignorance of coin and credit just exacerbates the problem. Do you agree?
I couldn't have said it better. I think you just pretty well nailed that down.
Mm-hmm. So then we have to educate our populace, not only on the issues that you've been attempting to do for quite a while, but also on the true nature of coin and credit.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a...
No doubt about that.
If you wish to, elaborate on that, you may, but I'm going to get off the phone now.
Okay, thanks for being there, Ed.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, do you want to take that a step further, then,
actually,
Jordan?
All I will say is that what he said was absolutely 100% right on target.
Yeah.
That we do not understand money, we do not understand the concept of coin and credit and what money is. Incidentally, in Rome, in the Roman Empire, when Rome was still a very viable power in the world, the Caesars, their seat of power, you know, today we have the Capitol, which everyone imagines is the seat of power in this country. Well, in Rome, it was the Senate. And it was up on a hill. and in Rome, the ancient Roman Empire, it was said that Caesar went up on the hill. And he was the official over the Senate. And we still say that today. They're up on the hill.
That's right.
At the Senate. That's Roman. That's fascism. That's the ancient Roman totalitarian dictatorship that was so feared and so feared by our founding fathers that they wanted out of Europe.
Yep.
Get away from that stuff.
Yep. But you talk about fascism. If anyone has ever attended a congressional session, what do we see up on the podium behind the speakers?
Yeah.
Fasci.
Yeah, fasci. They're on both sides of the presidential podium. Sitting right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Right in front of you on both sides of the speaker's podium in Washington, D.C., where the president stands to give his State of the Union message.
Uh-huh.
And now every night on CNN and the nightly news, there will always be something going on in that room. And the next time you see it on television, look on both sides of the podium and you will see a fasci, which is a bundle of sticks with a hatchet head. And it was on our, incidentally, it was on our Mercury dime.
That's right. It sure was.
A symbol for world fascism.
Yeah. And obviously you do understand Latin.
Well, you don't really have to be a rocket scientist any longer.
Uh-huh.
We have books. You can go into a library and just sit down with the encyclopedia's reference words and look up the word fasci, fascism.
Right.
Boss, get a law dictionary, buy one, and just read the words and find out what these words and terms mean.
Absolutely.
And for the first time, you will see that our exploiters, the people who would be our masters and take our country from us and our freedoms and enslave us, they are many things, but stupid isn't one of them. They are masters at the manipulation of words. In terms, that's why you have to have an attorney or a lawyer represent you in court, because they have learned what to kiss and when. They know exactly what the words mean.
Yeah.
They know what the terms mean.
Uh-huh.
They know all of the little secret symbols and words, and it's a scam.
Yeah. Well, a friend of ours the other day, I've heard it before. I don't know that you have. I just, every time I hear it, I go, that's so obvious. The word revenue. Is
yeah,
to
revenue.
The
yeah.
word religion is
exactly
to realign,
to redo it. And that's why I said even our country is referred to as a republic. It's re do again, re and public.
Uh-huh.
So bien, do it again, republic.
Yeah.
So we were moving out of Europe to get away from all of that stuff that what the founding fathers called foreign entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boy.
Did God, we ever.
We got a bunch of foreign entanglements now. We're so entangled, we don't even know who our friends are anymore. You remember the Smothers Brothers many years ago with their comedy?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, they had on this guy who was an absolutely sensational comedian, Pat Paulson.
You bet.
And Pat Paulson was running for president. They
have
to ran him for president. And it was a joke, but he was funny. But one thing I cracked up of what he said, they asked him one night, they said, well, Pat, if you're elected president and you're head of the military and chief executive, what's going to be your first official act? And he said, my first official thing I'm going to do if I become president is I'm going to call all the heads of the military in and all the big shots in Washington, and I got one question for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whose side are we on? What the hell are we doing here?
On that good up note, we're going to hold up just a little bit before we're out of time. We've got people online. We'll get to your calls as soon as we get back. Don't go away. Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, a very special guest, 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-5528.
So often, the only place you're going to hear it is right here on the Lou Epton Show.
All right, and again, back we are. 20 minutes left with our very special guest this morning. 20 before the top of the hour. And again, our guest, if you joined us very late, shame on you, is Jordan Maxwell. Our number is 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-KLAV. Jordan, what do you say we take a couple of calls here?
That's fine.
All right, Kathy, thank you for your patience, and good morning.
Good morning. Well, my husband's name's Paul. My son's name's Pat, so he's Pat, Paul's son.
Oh, good. Well, that takes care of that piece of business.
That's right. Jordan, you're the man I want to ask this question, and it's kind of a simple question, but to me it's, like, complicated. When you look at these countries that have royalty, you know, like kings and queens, et cetera, you see the ordinary middle-class people out in the street clapping when they come out and appear in their golden coaches with all their jewelry and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Where did that start? Where did this thing that one human being's valued above another, and they just think it's great that these people have all this stuff that they pay for? I mean, I don't understand that.
I agree with you. It's just atrocious that they will stand out there unemployed or head over heels in debt. Can't do anything, got to have a permit, got to have a license, can't park here, can't do that, can't do this because you don't have a permit, you got to get that registered, you can't pay this, you got to pay that, and then they stand out and applaud the queen who rides by in a gold chariot and lives in shameless luxury, and the queen and the whole royal family are not English at all, they're all Germans.
Yeah.
And the British people love it. They can't get enough of it.
The Queen is German?
Yeah, the Queen is German.
I'm sorry, I didn't pay that much attention to her.
No, well, I mean, I don't pay attention to her at all. But I know that. The whole dirty, stinking, filthy system of royalty is all German. Period. Nazis. German.
Where does that go back to? Because we have a society where one person's life's more valuable than another's. And
well,
it goes back to how much do you own? You know, how valuable are you?
Well, it goes all the way back to God knows. It goes all the way back to day one when kings and rulers and princes were understood to be the owners of pharaohs of Egypt, were said to be the great shepherd who shepherds his sheep. And the idea was that mankind, humans were referred to in Egypt, the working class and the poor, or referred to as the cattle of God, God's cattle. We were the cattle of God, and consequently, the idea is that, and today, that still is the idea, is that we are nothing more than cattle, and we actually use that term in law. It's called chattel, which is comes from the word cattle. We are chattel property. We are merely the cattle, the heads of cattle, and each one of us is worth something on the stock market. So, this whole idea of one family owning the bloodline of a nation, one family owns everybody. Well, that goes back to the idea that there was something called a divine right of kings. And that's when it gets interesting now. Because when you get into the divine right of kings, which European kings all claimed, now you're bringing in the concept of the Vatican. You're bringing in the concept of God anointing certain individuals to be absolute sovereigns over everyone else. And now you're getting into a whole subject that most people don't even want to touch, and that is the basis for ownership of other people, slavery. But we don't do that anymore, the outright slavery. We now just buy you. And we do it in such a way that you should not even know it's happening, and therefore will give you plenty of entertainment, alcohol and entertainment to keep you busy. But in point of fact, lawfully, if you want to get technical and sit down in a court and prove it, the banks actually own your body. They own your person and your name. And so while we see this stuff happening in England, the Germans have been able to manipulate the great English people into believing that they have a divine right to rule the English people. Well, they pull the same thing off here. They pull the same thing off here with uniform commercial code and banking regulations on how they actually buy you when you're a baby, and they own your body, and they own your name, and they own you. All of this goes back into the ancient Middle East. It goes all the way back into Egypt. And that's why, and even in Washington, D.C., you still have the symbols of Egyptian power over the people of our nation. The Washington Monument is an Egyptian obelisk.
Yeah. This is why the show that Lou had the other day, the gentleman Vic, I believe his name was, was interesting when he talked about copywriting your name.
Vic Vivian.
Yeah.
You know
that
Vic,
was very
don't you, Jordan?
I've known him. Yeah, I've heard him.
Yeah, you work together.
My partner, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was so interesting.
That's interesting stuff when your name can be copyrighted.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then what's the other thing? There's more to it than that, but it's basically that you copyright your name and no one can use it to get anything from you, period.
Yeah.
They can't. But all of this kind of stuff has to do with law. I had a great example of what's wrong with America. I'll tell you. I was in the airport. I was speaking to 1,000 people up in Seattle about a week ago. And at the airport here, I'm sitting next to a very sophisticated older lady, and we're chit-chatting, waiting for the plane. And she was telling me about her husband as a very important lawyer, attorney, or whatever. And so we talked about law. And she kept emphasizing, we follow the law. This is a country of laws. And it's all written down. There's no mistaking. So then I pulled out the reference works and all the photocopies I had for my lecture up there.
Uh-huh.
And started showing her where the word law came from and the Maritime Admiralty codes as opposed to our American laws. And but she began to see where I was going with this. And then when I showed her the piece on attorneys, and you're a client, and a client is a ward of the court, and a ward of the court is a person with an unsound mind,
uh-huh,
and that kind of stuff. She began to see where I was going with this, and then she said, oh, well, you know what the law is. You could say anything in law. You can make up anything in law. You can say anything, and it's just all a bunch of bull anyway. And I thought, wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, you're telling me, because I'm stupid and I'm just going along with you,
uh-huh,
therefore your attorney husband is very important and the law is very important. Now when you see you're in the company of someone who is as smart as you are, or smarter, and I know what's going on here and I'm showing you, now all of a sudden, oh, well, that's a bunch of silly nonsense anyway. You can read into it anything you want. And so I'm thinking, yeah, what we have here is consensus reality.
Yeah.
As long as everybody goes along to get along, then that's the way the law is. But if somebody like myself or Vic or anyone else starts questioning the thing and say, where is the law, now all of a sudden you back up and say, oh, well, let's don't talk about it. You know, what's on TV tonight?
I love
it.
Okay, Kathy, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got to do that last time out. Let's do it and get it behind us, and then we got Frank and Sam and who else waiting. Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, toll-free 1-866-820-KLAV. We'll be right back.
The only one of his kind, telling it like he sees it, Lou Epton.
All right, back we are for the final few. 7 before the top of the hour, Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, 1-866-820-KLAV. And having said all of that, Jordan, unless there's a comment you would care to make at this time, why, we do have people waiting.
Well, okay, there is a couple of comments.
Okay.
One is that I always forget this, so I want to do it now. Anyone who is interested in my work and contacting me, mm-hmm, go to my website. I have a website, and it's simply all one word, all lowercase letters, no capitals, one word, JordanMaxwell.com. Simple.
That's it.
That's Jordan, like the river, JordanMaxwell.com.
Okay.
And email me or whatever, and I'll get back to you.
Fair enough. Let's okay. take a call. We've
now,
got...
one other thing I want you to remember. I want you to remember this, Lou,
yeah.
is that in America, a honest politician is one who, when he is bought, he stays bought. And an honest politician
oh,
in California is that one who has never taken a bribe that he didn't earn.
I got to write those down. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. All right.
Now, okay, let's go.
Let's see what Robert wants to add to the program. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, excellent program.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I was reading in one of these websites that it said that in reference to the United States, which government from its inception was the vehicle through which the English Freemasons planned to establish a new world order. And if you really take that to account, all the lawyers we had, the father of American lawyer, I think his name was Whately or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had a very shady past. And what he did was, is he always ruled for Britain. And if you think all the Supreme Court justices, they always ruled on the side of Britain.
That's
and if
right.
we actually won the Revolutionary War, and if we won this land here, why did we have to pay them back?
That's exactly right.
See, they always ruled for Britain.
Uh-huh.
And my good friend Eustace Mullins told me this, and we're doing some research, even on my own, because every war we've ever had in this country has always been fostered by Britain, but it's both playing both sides to beat the middle, so to speak.
That's right.
So actually, maybe we were the inception of a one-world government even back in our revolutionary times.
Well, there was, you know, we know that the majority of the people at the time of the Revolutionary War were not for the revolution. They wanted to stay under British domain. And there was only a handful of people who decided.
I think a third of the population, if I remember right.
All right, have you got a dollar bill handy, just out of curiosity, Robert?
Yes, I do.
All right, look at the backside, and look at the pyramid, and I read the words, and Jordan, you translate them, because it's Latin. Annuit conceptus nordo ordo seclorum.
Yeah, annuit coeptus simply means, and it can be translated in different ways, our enterprise has been blessed with success, or our enterprise or project has been crowned with success. And the novus ordo seclorum, which is very interesting. Novus ordo seclorum is novus or novus, meaning new, ordo, order, and seclorum is a word for, in Latin, for the world, secular, secular education, secular job. Seclorum is the world. So novus ordo seclorum is a new order of the world, or a new world order. But remember, novus ordo seclorum came from Virgil, the court poet under the Caesars, under Tiberius Caesar, the court poet, the man who was given the job to write the poetry and all of the prophecies for the Caesars of Rome, was a man named Virgil. And in one of his great poems, he talked about the novus ordo seclorum, or the new order of the world, in which the old powers of the ancient Roman Empire would one day somehow amass the power to actually rule the whole entire earth. And that's what Virgil was writing about when he wrote the words novus ordo seclorum. So what we're seeing on the back of the dollar bill is a very ancient Roman fascist concept of absolute totalitarian dictatorship of a one-world government under the hidden or occult powers of the ancient Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And that's what's on your dollar bill.
Right in front of you, and it's been
right
there since under Roosevelt, I believe, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was FDR,
uh-huh.
which was fraudulent Deficit Roosevelt.
That I got to remember. All right, Robert, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my friend. Gee, I wish we had more time. We still have people waiting, but we're smack out of it. I do apologize to those of you who have been patient and didn't make it through today. I keep saying call earlier, but I know Jordan Maxwell is one of the more interesting, and we don't want to interrupt what he is saying.
Well,
right now, though,
that.
I've got to take this moment and thank you sincerely for spending the time with us, Jordan. I mean that.
Always, my friend. Always happy to be with you.
And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you again.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to certainly thank my producer, Larry Allen Wells. Mostly, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time and spending it with us. Lou Epton here. Have as good of a day as you can, won't you? Join us. We'll be back tomorrow morning with a Kathy Kraken Rink. That's her name, and I think you'll find her a very interesting young lady. Have a good day.